verses 8 through 11. A church of Smyrna, a suffering church. As these past few weeks, we have had extremely lot of sickness and even a lot of death in our area and community. As we look around, we understand that Jesus gives life. Jesus gives us physical life. But also Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary and our faith in Him, what He done, He gives us spiritual life. And then from time that we are saved, He begins to start reducing our physical life and increasing our spiritual life. We must die daily. Jesus must increase, but we must decrease. But we know as we begin to decrease in the spiritual, the physical life, we have one common denominator, Jesus Christ. And He allowed me through the time of the sickness and sorrow that people's having, standing over loved ones and by the bed of those who's passed away, people feel like they're just so helpless. And things are out of control. But I want to tell you, with Jesus Christ, things are not out of control. He controls everything. But even through sickness and through death, He allowed me to understand one thing. That we're all going to one common denominator. And that's Jesus Christ. What we have been seeing with our eyes and been close to those as loss of loved ones, we see what's happening to the human race. Every one of us this morning, God is bringing us to one common denominator, and that's Jesus Christ. When those on the bed of affliction, when family cannot be with them no longer, and they shoved away maybe in some hospital room or maybe at night when the family cannot stay with them any longer, God's reducing them down to one common denominator. And when God gets through reducing us down to one common denominator, you know what you have left? Jesus. And when we understand we have one common denominator, Jesus Christ, we'll understand that's all that we need. But even the people who do not know Jesus Christ, He's bringing them down also to one common denominator. He's working on them, and He's working each day on them. They're also going to be reduced down to they stand before Jesus Christ. The human race, we find out, is going to a man called Jesus, and we all stand before Jesus Christ. He's reducing us down. But not only that, we find in these scriptures, and it gives us reflection of what our world is coming down to also. Our world is going to be reduced down to one common denominator also, which is Jesus Christ. And that's all we have is Jesus Christ. This world, as you and I know it, is coming to Jesus Christ. Every one of us, God gives us life. We born in this world, but we headed on a journey towards Jesus. We know that Jesus Christ is going to be our judge. At the judgment seat of Christ, when that is the saved one standing before Jesus Christ, we'll not be judged for our sins, but judged for what we've done in these bodies since the time that we were saved, the time of death. But they're going to be a great white throne judgment. Those I said that God's also working on to bring them down to one common denominator. They may not have time for God in this world, but they're coming down to a time that they will have time for God, that I can assure you of that. They're going to have one common denominator, and that's Jesus, to stand before. And these verses of scriptures tell us what's going to happen. And I believe this church here at Smyrna is also a message to Pleasant Hill and for all of our churches today. Right in the midst of the window of heaven, there's also the door of hell. We don't know what type of persecution that we're going to go through, what type of suffering we're going to have, but we might learn that Jesus Christ controls everything. And it says in that verse 8, "And to the angel of the church at Smyrna." Now that angel means messenger. That means preacher. That means pastor. The pastor was Polycarp. A very special message to him, to us today, what this suffering is going to bring. And how that we might overcome the suffering through Christ Jesus. Right at the window of heaven, we find out there's also a door of hell. And these people stood at the door of hell and won souls to Jesus Christ at the time 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine now these people there at Smyrnoff and also these seven churches in Asia Minor? Can you imagine this early church 2,000 years ago and you wondering about asking somebody, are you really a Christian? Now, most people that we meet, most people we know, and I tell you, we got about 400 on our church roll today, and you see how many is here today. And every one of those, I guarantee you, if you ask, are you saved? Yes, sir, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I guarantee you, if they had to go through what these people went through, you would know who's saved and who's lost. And I tell you something else, I really do believe with all my heart that we're going to go through some tribulations. And those people are saved, you're going to stand up and be counted. Because those people are just playing church and playing with Jesus Christ, they're not going to stand the test. But they're coming down to that common denominator. So let us read these verses of scriptures. Hold tight. Verse 8. And unto the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be there faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message of the Word of God. Father, how it will touch our hearts today, we pray. And Father, we know that we're coming to you, Jesus Christ. Father, even this day, we know that you're reducing us down. Father, that we have one Maker, one Jesus Christ, and one Lord. And Father, that's all we really need when we understand that's all we have. That this life is fastly passing away. The trials and tribulation, Lord, it's going to come. But Father, we know that you made it and you said, Lord, fear none of these things because they will come to an end. We thank you and we praise you here this hour for the songs that have been sung, for the prayers that have been offered up. But Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit of God might work in a tremendous way here this morning. Father, there's one that's never walked forward today and confessed that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. I pray this will be the day. Lord, that the Spirit of God and the power of God might prick thy heart to the understanding that, Father, we're all coming to Jesus, coming as our judge, or either our Savior, but we're coming to Jesus Christ. And how we praise the name of Jesus. To make this possible, Lord, that we can lift his name up today. And here at this church. And praise the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you, we praise you. For all the good blessings that you give us this day. In that precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And amen. Smyrna. Smyrna. Means myrrh. You know a little bit more about it, myrrh. You know when the wise men at Jesus' birth, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. A sweet smelling perfume, as you say. It's made by crushing. It's also used for healing and also embalming. Whenever Jesus Christ was on the cross and it says he thirsted, they took vinegar and myrrh and mixed it together. It's the same word here for Smyrna. It means they're myrrh. This was a suffering church in these seven churches of Asia Minor. It's a message today of what I really do believe is on the very doorsteps of what we call the church age that you and I are living today. And that is suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. Smyrna was a suffering church. Smyrna was a very beautiful city at that time. It was a Greek city to start with. It had one road leading from the area of the sea up into the temple area, a very big city, and had a lot of temple mounts of different types of gods of all kind. It was a place of culture. It was a great large city in its day and time, and today it's still a great large city. It's in Turkey today, this place of Smyrna. It was a great populated place. It was not just a small town as we find around here. It was a great populated city. But it had a little small church in that city of paganism, as we see the world today. Churches are placed around this country and this world and paganism. They place when in places where other gods are mentioned and other gods are served. But this church was a very poor church, a very little church, and a small congregation. But what made this church stand out so? Because it was blessed of God. And you can say amen when it's blessed of God. They had a pastor that they loved. They had a Lord that they followed. And they had a book they believed. And that's all it takes to make a great church. Take a small church and it'd be a great church for Jesus Christ. And they won people to the Lord right at the very doorsteps of hell. And I believe we could do that today. But because they stood up for Jesus Christ, persecution started in on them. And I believe that's what's happening today in America. And you're going to see more pressure put upon Christian people than you ever thought of in your life. We are in the generation are going to have persecution because you stand up for Jesus Christ. When God opens up the windows of heaven to bless us, you can assure one thing, that the devil opened up the doors of hell to blast us, to everything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ. This was a poor, suffering church. Now, what would God say? What was God saying, and what is God saying today to you and I at the same time? The message from this church of Smyrna is a message to Pleasant Hill today and for all churches that names the name of Jesus Christ. I am convinced that the sand time of the glass hour, the sand is trickling low for this generation. For this generation, the hourglass of this dispensation period of time, known as the church age that you and I are living in, and the church age started the first coming of Jesus Christ until the rapture of his church in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. That is called the church age. And I really do believe that we are on the very verge of ending this church age. Jesus Christ will end it whenever he comes to bring his church home. Before that happens, we're going through some tribulation times. The church will not go through the great tribulation, the 7-year tribulation. The Bible clearly teaches that. But we're going to have some tribulation. The thing we need to understand this morning of Smyrna and these words of scriptures, what did it mean to them? But not only that, what does it mean now to us? But what does it mean to you personally this morning as God opens up your heart? What Jesus Christ is saying to the church today, we may be facing severe persecution in the very near future. That where a preacher may not be able to stand behind the pulpit and say the things that God's laid on his heart, it's coming, laws are being passed in our country, and it's coming very fast. And the more we stand up for Jesus Christ, the more this world hates us. And they're going to be a great separation in a very little while of Christian people from pagan people and false cults in this world, in the country that you and I are living. You can mark it down. I am no prophet. I'm not no son of a prophet. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. We on the very verge of knowing who's saved and who's not saved, because you're going to have to stand the test of time and the fire. And it's here upon us today. Today, facing the severe persecution, it may be called on for you or your family to do some suffering of the day of persecution as Jesus Christ gets ready to come back. Church will not go through the great tribulation, but John 16 and 33 says in the Gospel of John, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's saying that we will have tribulations in this world that we live. Tribulations of the church to start with. There's going to be some tribulation. Verse 10, as I just read, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. That's your faith may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Are there going to be some tribulation of the church? There's going to be some tribulation of persecution. Tribulation means to crush. It's as a person here, and it pictures a person being executed by a great stone being rolled upon that person, and the life just crushed out of that person. It's a picture here of grapes and also olives in the wine press or the olive press being crushed until the juices runs out of the grapes and also the wine. Under great tensely pressure is coming. These are not common trials of life that we all have, whether we're saved or lost. This is a different type of tribulation that's coming to the human race. It's coming, I believe, in our area, in our dispensation period of time. Whenever God is going to call for you and for me to stand as we've never stood before, they're going to be some hard times. It's not talking about the trials of tribulation that we have all together as our hearts may ache. We have some suffering. But this is talking about the suffering for Jesus Christ, to suffer on the cross. Before Jesus Christ came, he came to this world as a little baby when he came the first time. But I believe that he's going to purge the churches. Many real Christians will have to stand up, and then we'll be able to tell who's the real Christian. This pagan city had a temples of several different gods as we have today. Did you know we have several different gods in our country that we're living in? They're building these mosques for the Islamic faith all across our country to their God, the Islamic faith, to all different types of God. It's all right for them to build it. But you just mentioned Jesus and a Christian church. We're already under persecution, the Christian faith. You're going to see it intensify in this coming future. Your generation and my generation is already upon us this day. Oh, it's going to be terrible. The pagan city had temples of all type of gods. Now, the Christians would have got along real well if they said, well, your gods is okay, and we got a God named Jesus Christ, and he's okay. It's many different ways to heaven. You serve your God, we serve our God, and you know, we all meet in heaven. They'd have got along real good. But Jesus Christ, whenever he says, I'm the only way, I'm the only way, as Christian today, when we stand up and say Jesus Christ is the only way, that's when trouble takes place. It's all right to have all different types of God, but buddy, when you say Jesus Christ is the only way, there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ, then trouble breaks out. You can mention all types of gods in our government. You can mention all types of God at any types of meeting, but don't you mention Jesus. You can't mention Jesus Christ. As we find out, the Christians would have got along real good, and their people get along real good today. If you don't rock the boat and you don't stand up for Jesus Christ today, you won't have no problems. Many today, it names the name of Jesus Christ. You don't know who they are. They do the same thing. They go to the same places, acting like the same people that's lost if they are saved, and you don't know the difference. They don't have no problems. But buddy, you start living for Jesus Christ, and you'll come under attack. You're going to come under attack. Jesus Christ says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men where we might be saved. No other name. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not all the Islamic faith, not Joseph Smith. There's one name, Jesus. Just one name, Jesus. Oh, there was many gods then, there are many gods today, but there's only one Jesus Christ. One Jesus Christ. At this time, everybody had to worship these gods. It was perfectly all right for them to worship all the gods of Smyrna they wanted to. But they want to unify that belief, so they brought it down to one God. And that one God was Caesar, the governor, the emperor at that time. They worship in the temple of all the gods they wanted to, but they had to be one time a year to unify the kingdom, and they had to have a special place to go to worship this one Caesar. And how they would do this, one time a year, a special place, they would come and offer incense to Caesar and say, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. Now, if the Christian people done that, they could just take this incense, say, Caesar is Lord, and everything would be all right. But the sooner or later, as you and I, we're going to have to stand up for Jesus Christ. And whenever they said, no, Caesar is not Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, is when the problem set in. That's the reason they was a poor church. Because, you see, they couldn't go out and get a job. They'd be turned away because they was a Christian. I'm going to tell you, Christians are looked down on in our country right now. And we're going down farther for this world concern. They're going to look down on us. And they're going to continue to do that. At this time, that's exactly what happened to them. They could not get jobs. Caesar was Lord. Christian refused to do that. But even those Christians that day, they would not bend, and they would not bow, and they would not budge. It's about time, though, we had somebody would stand up for Jesus Christ like that. Where is the church at today when all this is happening in our country? Persecution set in. Persecution set in three different ways. From a human standpoint of view, it was misery for those people. From a human standpoint, it was just misery for those people. Verse 10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. It was misery. Who likes to suffer? Nobody. It was misery for those people to suffer for Jesus Christ. Look at the great heroes of faith that we have in the Bible, how they suffer for Jesus Christ. It was misery for them. As we look at it from the human standpoint, it's misery to stand up and suffer for Jesus Christ. But from a satanic viewpoint, we find out it was a mystery. It said, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prisons. It was a mystery. Now, why was it a mystery? That God Almighty would allow Satan to do that to his saints. It's a mystery why God allows Satan to do what he does. We can't figure it out, do not know it. It's a mystery for us today. The devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, your faith may be tried. But we know that God has a purpose. As we know that a lot of suffering and sorrow and even death around us, but you see, God has a purpose. We do not understand it. He says, you shall have tribulations 10 days. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Now, these are not just literally 10 days that we're talking about. This 10 days means a period of time. And several times in the Bible, it's talking about a period of time. It said the day that the Lord made this world. Well, he done it 6 days and rested one, but the day, he says, it was a period of time that he done it in. So this is a period of time. Why 10? Well, there was 10 emperors we know for sure. One come right after the other with persecuted the church, all 10 of them. But we find out that in Isaiah, one thing, what numbers means in the book of Revelation is symbolic. One means one Lord. And Isaiah says, one Lord, our God, is one Lord. It's for one. That's what the number is in the Bible. Ephesians 4, 5, 6, it says, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you. There's one God. That's what one stands for in the Bible, one. Not many gods, but one God. One, Jesus Christ. But we know what two is. Two stands for witnesses in the Word of God. Jesus Christ sent out his witnesses two by two. The two witnesses in the book of Revelations. The power of two witnesses. That's the reason we have visitation. We go out by twos. Twos for witnesses today. It's the power that we have of witness today. Well, what's three is? Three is for this divine, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But it's still one God. It's divine, but it's three divine. But then we have the number four in the book of Revelation in the Bible. That stands for the earth. It says you come from the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. It says whosoever will come from the four corners of the earth, that whosoever wills for anybody come from all around the world and can be saved. Here today, you can come and be saved. No matter what you come from, where you come from, that you can be saved today. But we also know what six is for. Six is for man. You'll never be a seven till you receive Jesus Christ. That's man's number. That's the devil number, 666. That's man's number in the Word of God. What is seven? Seven is for perfect. It is for perfect. God's going to make a seven out of everybody except Jesus Christ as their Savior. You become a seven then. You'll be perfect. God won't let nobody in heaven unless they're perfect. But you'll be perfect in Christ Jesus. You'll be a perfect 7, what Christ adds to your 6. 5 and 10 is the same thing. We won't go through any more number, but 5 and 10 is the same thing in the Word of God. For numbers, it means completeness. It means fullness. It says that you'll suffer 10 days. That means a completion of suffering that you're going to go through. A full and complete circle of persecution. God says, I am in it. I'm going to begin in it, and I'm going to end it. In the suffering and persecution, the sickness and the sadness that you might have in your family, let me tell you, there's a starting point. But God says also there's an ending point. There's going to be a period of time of your suffering, your trial, your family member, your loved ones that's laying on the bed of affliction. You and I today, when we started, it's coming to us. There's going to be a period of time, it's going to be a starting place that God starts reducing us down to one level, and that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There'll be a starting place, but also he says there'll be a stopping place, there'll be an ending place. God allows his saints to suffer because of the ministry of it. Of all my life, I preach the Word of God. I've done this and I've done that, but it may be on my bed of death that I might do more for the Lord in just a few minutes than I've done all the years that I've served Jesus Christ. God has a purpose in our suffering. He has a plan for our suffering. It is a ministry, the trying of our faith, the testing. When God's people suffer, listen to me, when God's people suffer, the world begins to look at us and see even through our suffering and death of your family and a loved one, can we still praise Jesus? When the suffering starts, the people look at us and see if we really got what we say that we've had. And God reduces us down now to just one common denominator. And it's getting smaller all the time for a lot of us today. And our world is getting smaller and Jesus is getting larger. I must decrease, but he must increase. He's doing that for every one of us today. Also, the tribulation of poverty. There was a very poor church. Verse 9 it says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Thou art rich. I know how poor you are, he says. The type of place they had to worship in, that little poor church was very rich, that little poor church. Our didn't seem like they had very much of the worldly goods. Certainly they didn't have air-conditioned building, padded pews we have today. It might just have been a lean-to. Might have been in someone's house. A dirt floor, more likely. But a place there where the power of the Word of God is. There's nothing wrong with what we have here, but I'm going to tell you that's not where the power's at. Just in padded pews and air conditions and fine dress clothes. That's not where the power's at. The power's in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you there's some of these old churches long gone. Some of these old churches back when they didn't have all the modern convenience that we have today. But when the man of God stood up again to preach and the Holy Spirit began to fill that place, there was power upon that church. There was power upon those people's lives. Why? Because they lived and believed what the Word of God said. And that's about time we got back to the Word of God and believe what God says. One Lord, one God, not many gods. Gods of this world, the gods of pleasure. Look around today, the gods of pleasure. What people's doing today, not worshiping Jesus Christ. They claim they know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. One God, not many gods, but one God. That's the reason they had power in the church. That's the reason these people had power, because they had one God, one Lord, and that was Jesus Christ. All the day, as I see, in the United States, when little was much in our country. When people didn't have the modern convenience today. Some of you can remember probably, and some of you heard your families tell about going to church in a mule and wagon. Maybe an old car didn't have windows in it and no heat in it. Maybe it was raining, they had to go through a ford, a creek or a branch and pull off their shoes and maybe wade across the other side. Maybe it was cold and the little kids, you know, if it's a little bit cold, they don't want to get the kids out. But if they put the kids in blankets and mules and wagon and they come to church, amen? Oh, but don't you ever let it sprinkle rain a little bit or let it get too cold. Man, there won't be nobody at church tonight. There won't be nobody there today. Oh, no, sir, there'll be grove band playing somewhere or another. Something happened today. Oh, anything's happened today, they're gone. They're not here. How many gods do they have? There's only one God, and they're being reduced whether they realize it or not. They're being reduced to one common denominator. When God gets through with them, I'll tell you what, they won't be but one God, and that's Jesus Christ. One Lord and one God. Rich on the inside, but very poor on the outside. Tribulation of profanity in verse 9. He says, you know what? I know they're blaspheming. Blaspheming them because of the name of Jesus Christ. Look in our country today, what we're going through as Christians today. The blaspheming. Bible says, all that live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. Now, did you know that Christians are not supposed to get along with everybody? We're not supposed to get along with everybody. No siree. Buddy, whenever they start talking about Islamic faith, they start talking about Joseph Smith, they start talking about other gods, I'm not going for them. I'm going to be against them. I'm not going to agree with them. And I'm going to tell you, in our schools, I'm going to tell you what, when they start talking about you coming from monkey, I'm going to tell you what, they don't believe in God. Anybody, any teacher, in our school systems today, if they teach the animals that we come from animals, they do not believe in God. That's evolution. I don't know what the teachers have to teach. I don't know what I'd do if I was in their place. Thank God we got Christian teachers here today. And thank God we got a good education system in Pierce County, probably the highest and greater they are in the state of Georgia. But I tell you, all the Christian teachers are not saved. But thank God for the ones that are saved. But whenever they want to teach in our educational system that we come from monkeys, that's evolution, that is denying that they are a God. It's right before us today. If they can teach evolution, how come they can't teach creation and let people decide for themselves? I'm going to tell you what, you put the Bible up there. They don't want the Bible in school, but you lay the Bible up there. But it might be the Quran. It might be a Mormon's Bible, they call it. Any of you want to. But you put the living Word of God up there, and I'll tell you what, it'll stand the test. It'll stand the test. It's the only book that's alive. The rest of them's dead. The rest of them's dead. Tribulation of the church. But look at the treasure of the church in verse 9. But thou art rich. If a person's poor for Christ, I'm going to tell you what, they're very rich in their faith. Old Paul said, godliness with great contentment is great gain. There's missionaries. It gives everything for Jesus Christ. Y'all remember David Lewis that come on our old church? He was a missionary down in Mexico. Give his whole life and everything he had. Go down there and sleep in a sleeping bag across the border. Didn't have anything, didn't have nothing, but willing to win souls to Jesus Christ. And whenever he had a car wreck going back to from here, he lived in Hazelhurst, going back, he had a car wreck and died, and me and Brother Ben Glosson went back and got all of his belongings and everything that he had. We put it in two little small boxes about that big. That's all he had in life. You know what happened to him? He was reduced down to one common denominator. That's all he needed was Jesus Christ. All the great benefits you have today, all your material things, there's nothing wrong with it, but one of these days you're going to be reduced down also. The one common denominator. There's nothing wrong with having material things. The Bible said, Lord, the Lord God, give us these powers to get wealth. It's because of Lord that we have what we have there. But it's sad when we sacrifice our spirituality on the altar of our wealth today in our country. The triumph of the church there in verse 10 and 11. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcome shall be not hurt of the second death. The church, the triumph of the church. Not only faithful till you die, that's not what it's talking about until death. Not only faithful to die, which we should be, but this is talking here also about even if you're called on to die for your faith. Even if you cast into prison. You know, it'd be wonderful in our country today, and people today would be more be concerned about that second death than they are their first death, that nobody don't want to die. But I'm going to tell you what, after death, then there's the judgment. There's the judgment. Do y'all remember Nancy Bernal, Littleton, Colorado? That girl, whenever that young man with that gun in his hand went in that school, anybody believes in Jesus Christ, stand up. Would you have had enough of Jesus Christ in you to stand up? And she rose from her seat. I believe in Jesus Christ. And he blew her face off. Be faithful, even if you call on to die for Jesus. Verse 8. These things said the first and the last, which was dead and alive. Now it says, Jesus Christ says, don't fear. I was there before all this happened, and I'll be there when it's all ended. Revelation 1 and 8 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You just remember now, when suffering starts, I was there before it started, and I'll be there when it ends. Oh, Polycarp was their pastor. 86 years old, they brought him down to Caesar to offer incense to Caesar. And he failed to offer incense and say that Caesar is Lord. Polycarp, if you just offer this incense to Caesar, we'll let you go on about your life and live. You can still believe in your Jesus, but just say Caesar is Lord. He says, Lord Jesus Christ, for 86 years now, he has never wronged me. He is my Lord and my Savior. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. They said, well, we'll burn you. They went and got the nails and the hammer. He said, you won't have to worry about the nails and the hammer. I'll stand it. They began to throw bushes around his feet. The fire began to be lit around his feet. And he went up in ashes, and they heard him singing praises to God. Praises to God. Why? Because Jesus Christ had reduced him down to one common denominator. Jesus Christ is Lord. Then he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, you want to hear those words. I'm going to tell you it's about time that you understand that you've been reduced. No matter what it takes, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reduce you down to one common denominator. He's come with a song of invitation. He has thrown out now the net and pulling you in this day. He wants you to understand the day is a day that you might confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you had come now, you're not playing church, and I'm going to tell you what, you're not coming to me, but you're coming to Jesus Christ. Now, are you willing to do what Christ has called you to do? As old Polycarp says, are you willing to confess Jesus Christ? Are you going to go out and throw incense to all the gods of this world? Say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, and throw incense to the gods of this world. Are you willing to say that Jesus Christ is one Lord and one God, and he's my Lord and my Savior, and come right now and accept him as your Lord and Savior? Amen.